Time is 8:07. Currently overcast skies in downtown Wausau at our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. 63 degrees is the temperature. It is the Thursday edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. You can also join us by going to Facebook.com and X.com and going to the Bow Falls Radio page to be able to watch our video stream, make your comments, and join the program as well. And also you can call or text us at 715-382-9297. Coming up here on the program at 8:20, we'll be welcoming back Brittany Merlot to let us know about the forecast as we get towards the end of the work week and to the weekend. At 8:34 this morning, it's our weekly feature, North Star Knows, with North Star Restoration and North Star Builds. At 9:20 this morning, we'll be joined by Andy Rich. She is a Democratic candidate for the State Senate in District Number 12, which composes a big portion of Northeast Wisconsin, including a part of Marathon County. So again, Brittany Merlot at 8:20, North Star Knows at 8:34, Andy Rich, State Senate candidate at 9:20, all this morning here on Bow Falls Radio. But that's not all. We also start off on Thursday morning very happy to welcome in the host of Up North News Radio, which you can hear every weekday morning from 6 until 8 a.m. right here on Bow Falls Radio, Pat Kreitlow. And Pat, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
Oh, you sound a little worn down.
I'm worn down. I'm tired. I mean, we just had a good show. We covered a lot of good topics, and I just discovered I missed one. I discovered I missed Ron Johnson asking the CEO of Boeing yesterday on a focus on jetliner safety. Ron Johnson asked the Boeing CEO if he thought that a focus on diversity, equity, and inclusion programs led to a trade-off in quality performance, and I'm just so tired.
You know,
I'm just tired.
You've opened up a can of worms here, because I've often said on this program that both my favorite and my least favorite person to talk about is Ron Johnson, because my favorite is because the man deserves to be talked about when he says stupid things, but it's the least favorite because of things like that. And what I will say is, how can anybody not hear something like that and not just say what it is? It is a purely racist comment.
Well, that my thought on that was that we have changed the lingo for good. You know, we don't have nearly the offensive terms we used to, and I'm about to use old-timey language, and so folks, brace yourself for it. But what Ron Johnson or anybody attacking DEI is saying is, you know, he asked it, here's how he said it: is Boeing's management, are they concentrated on DEI and ESG investing at the expense of really meeting quality performance measures? That's today's lingo. A generation ago, he simply would have said, so have you hired too many of the blacks there, and that's why your planes are crashing? Because that's what you're saying. It's what you're saying, that the, you know, black people, brown people, Asian people, whatever the case may be, but they have found ways to couch it in this language and in these code phrases. And if that's where your focus is, then you're as much a hazard to air travel and manufacturing and America's future as anything else that's out there.
I mean, it's basically what Ron Johnson is saying, as well as I'm on Saturday afternoon, I'm driving to Minneapolis. I'm getting on an airplane. If I was to walk through that door, turn to the left where the cockpit is and yell out, all right, I want to see whether or not I have a white pilot or somebody of color, that would be basically Ron Johnson. I mean, it is ridiculous. In fact, yesterday on the program, I had a resident of Milwaukee on who is a Wausau native, somebody I knew back when I was a very young person. But I thought after what Donald Trump said last week, I wanted to get, it's easy for me to say, you know, Donald Trump is saying these things about Milwaukee. I wanted to get somebody who actually has lived in Milwaukee for 15 years, and we talked to her, and one of the things she said is talking about diversity. And I brought up the whole DEI because, I mean, obviously, part of that is, again, towards basically communities that do have diversity. There's a lot of tentacles to it all. And she said one of the things that has made her life better is the fact that it is diverse. It does add to the life of her and her partner and everybody else within these communities. And yet, every single day, we have people like Ron Johnson making those comments. And I got to tell you, I was a little like you when I started this off, but now all of a sudden, I've got a whole bunch of energy for the next 2 hours. But again, well, it's just ridiculous.
It's just that the benefits of diversity are so self-evident, unless you are a fraidy cat. You know, if you're somebody who does not want to meet and get to know people who are not like you simply because of the line of bull that you've been fed all these years. Now, let me be fair in one way, that for people, Ron Johnson and others who would say, no, this is not about race. It's about regulations that were requiring Boeing to go through DEI, much the same way as we're requiring them to fill out paperwork that, you know, stipulates that they pay a minimum wage, or we're requiring, you know, insert regulation here. What they call regulations, I call protections. But even if you come at it from that standpoint, if you give Ron Johnson and others the benefit of the doubt, there is no bottom for them. They won't say that there's a minimum level of regulation, because whatever it is, they'll still call it red tape or waste and want to get rid of it. So don't let him off the hook by saying, well, he wasn't talking about race, he was talking about regulations. No, we have these protections and we have these programs for good reasons, and others just want to trash it because it either says something about their inner values or it's politically expedient.
They just don't like rules. I mean, they don't want to. Right. They don't want to live by any.
They want
rules.
To rule. Donald Trump doesn't like rules. He wants to rule. You know, they don't want rules. They want to be the rulers.
Speaking of rules and speaking of Donald Trump, I kind of got it because yesterday I saw as well, and I know that you talked about it earlier today as well. This new law put into place in Louisiana to have every public school in large print put up the Ten Commandments. And my first thought is, let's have these kids go down the list then of the Ten Commandments and see how many Donald Trump actually in his life follows. But right. That's a whole different. But the idea, again, of we have heard in the state of Wisconsin from Robin Voss and others about indoctrination of our students. I can't think of anything that would be more of an indoctrination than bringing religion into every public school in the state.
Yeah, like I said before, we don't have madrasas here, or, you know, the kinds of things that people saw overseas, especially in the wake of, you know, 9/11 and the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, you know, these academies that are drilling people in, you know, death to America. And which is, by the way, that is the natural logical extension of taking religion to an extreme. And you can always say, well, we're just going to have a little bit of religion in here, which is not the same as teaching morality and values, by the way. But as soon as you're bringing religion into it, and with an entire smorgasbord of religions and religious beliefs and values throughout mankind, for you to assert that your path is the only one that's right and true, that's your right to believe. But it's the moment you start imposing it on others, not preaching it, not trying to persuade people or convince them, but to actually mandate your religious worldview on somebody, you know, that comes back to the, what do they like to say? Like, oh, don't try to cram something down my throat. Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of times the thing that's being crammed down, you know, their throat are, like we talked about before, minimum protections for employees and for consumers and for the environment, or just to simply be tolerant of other people. And yet they're happy to cram their entire religious worldview down the throats of students who whose families don't take that path. And now they're going to feel less welcome. They're going to feel less safe.
And I guess finally this morning, I know you're a baseball guy. A couple of nights ago, we heard that Willie Mays died. And I know I was wondering, did he have any effect as you were growing up watching baseball?
Boy, you really, how old do you think I am? He did in that, I mean, he retired when I was, I think, 9 years old. And yeah. Of course, you know, that's a very key age when you're growing up. So yeah, everybody in my group, you know, knew the Say Hey Kid, and everybody knew what it was, you know, what a compliment that was to be likened to, you know, Willie Mays. Mickey Mantle was the other, you know, big one who, again, didn't play in my era necessarily, but you were so very well aware of, and then continued to be a good ambassador for the game. And I think that's the thing that really gets to people is, you know, not every athlete is a nice guy or a nice woman. You know, some are jerks. Some are just, you know, private people. You know, being an ambassador for something, whether it's for the game you play or your workplace or whatever the case may be, you know, that is a real badge of honor if that's the route or the route you decide to go down, and to, you know, always make your sport or your activity or whatever, make it look its best. And that's what Willie Mays did, and that's what he signified to a lot of people, which is, you know, not just the fact that he had amazing statistics and amazing hustle. You know, Roger Clemens has amazing statistics mm-hmm. and had amazing hustle, but, you know, nobody's using the word beloved to describe him these days. Willie Mays will forever be beloved.
And timeless, because I think it was either my last broadcast of the spring or my next to last broadcast of the spring, one of the center fielder for one of the teams made a basket catch, and I said on the air, it was a Willie Mays catch, a basket catch, and more than 50 years after he retired, he's still, you know, at the tip of the tongue. When you see a basket catch, you think Willie Mays.
Absolutely. I mean, you think of that one first, and there have been others, Jim Edmonds with the Angels and others, but somebody got to be first and really show really just make your jaw drop, and that was him.
Pat Kreitlow, 6 to 8 a.m. every weekday morning. Pat, thanks again. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
The time is 8:18. Coming up, we're going to be joined by Brittany Merlot. Brittany will be back after being away for a few days. We'll talk about the weather as we get towards the end of the work week. I'm Chad Holmes, Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXEO and on the Civic Media app. Again, the time is 8:21, 63 degrees as I took a peek just over my right shoulder outside. Overcast skies here as we start off the day. And for the first 3 days this week, at this time when we expect to talk to Brittany Merlot, Brittany was away. But the good news is Brittany is back, and we're very happy to welcome back to the program our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. Brittany, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I am doing well. I could not help but hear when you were talking to Ian during the break that you were doing some extreme stuff during the last couple of days.
Yes. I took advantage of that, you know, that CWA deal, to go to Orlando.
Cool.
Right? So
yeah.
I left. Guys, I highly suggest it. That's an affordable flight. It's right directly there. You're gone. But hey, You are entering the heat and the humidity. I did not escape what you guys are feeling. We were twins. I was so far away, but it was so hot and humid. But I did get to do some fun stuff. There was one day of sunshine. I got a little tan. And one of my friends took me up in an aerobatic plane. Now, I've been learning how to fly, so this is kind of up my alley. You know, meteorologist, might as well be in the sky up there with the weather. But I have never done stuff like that. I've been in small planes before, but going upside down, I was inverted. I got to go upside down and fly upside down, do some crazy flips, go straight up in the air and stall and dive back down. I'm not going to lie, I almost passed out twice from the G-force, but, you know, takes practice.
Learning to fly behind the console and everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
How far along are you?
I only have about 5 or 6 flight hours. I'm still learning how to get my private pilot. So I'm in the beginning stages of it, but I'll tell you what, it's worth it. It's so fun. And if anybody has an interest doing it, yes, it takes some time and you got to know that meteorology, but I'll help you.
What's it like being behind the console of a plane?
So free. Free flying, literally. You can feel every push of wind. It's hard to explain. Honestly, there's hard to have words for it. There's a whole other world up there. No streets. I mean, there's streets, but it's a different kind of street, ATC street.
And I guess finally on that topic, I just find it very interesting. How difficult is it, the process? I mean, do you find it that you've been able to catch on quickly? As you said, you're you know, at the early portion, but at the same time, how difficult is learning to fly, maybe compared to learning to drive or learning to do anything else?
You know, I'd say it's kind of similar. You got to learn the basics, but you really have to learn a lot about the plane in a sense. Like when we're driving, we don't really have to know much mechanical. We break down on the side of the road, we get a towed, it gets fixed by someone else. But if you're in the air flying and something goes wrong mechanically, you're just not on, you can't just pull over and hang out in the sky. So you've got to know a lot more about your plane, a lot more mechanical engineering stuff going on. What happens in an emergency? What do you do when this happens? Different pressure. So a lot of science, some math, and you got to know the way out when something goes wrong. So it's a little bit harder. Of course, a lot of meteorology factored into that as well, because you're dealing with what I'm forecasting for you, and there's no mercy up there. So it's difficult, but it's also easy at the same time. If you're into that kind of stuff, it flies by. I think you could probably get your private pilot if you were dedicated within a couple of weeks to a month.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, I tell you, when you're up there, you see a lot of clouds, and when the storms are coming through, you can see it coming. And boy, we are just continuing to get hit with wet stuff. In fact, on Monday, I went golfing and on the course, and the person at the front said, hey, there was a leak going on. We can put you on the back, but it's pretty wet out there. And it was. there was a lot of standing water just because of all the rain that we've had recently, and it looks like over the next number of days as we get towards the weekend, boy, any hopes of drying things out are going to go away, at least for a while.
Yes, unfortunately. This has been this really wild, active spring, honestly. It just keeps hitting over and over. And even today, we're still looking at those chances of some spotty light rain showers. Nothing major. There are some storms expected, mostly down to the south. And I don't even think those are going to be severe for them. But just, it won't stop. It just keeps coming today, on and off. We will see pockets of some sunshine, I think, this afternoon. A little bit more chances of some showers this evening. But then tomorrow is really when it ramps up. Because today we're really just looking at a trace to a tenth of an inch of rain. That's not too much. The soil can take that a little bit. But as we go, it's already soggy. It's already extremely filled. And our rivers are rising and swelling. When we get another inch potentially on Friday, tomorrow, and then another inch on Saturday potentially, some places are going to see some flash flooding. I think a lot of those rivers right now are in the action stage. They might get shoved to minor flooding stages as we go into this weekend. So the sun and the dry weather, is it going to hold off? It's not going to get here until Sunday. So Sunday will dry out. Monday we'll have some sunshine. It'll be nice and beautiful. Those are 2 dry days. More sun. Back in the forecast.
Very good. Well, what are the details here for the rest of today and as we get towards the weekend?
Sure. So still cool and comfortable today. No humidity, into the low 70s for us. Mostly cloudy. A few pockets of sunshine are possible. By the way, first day of summer, summer solstice, is at 3:50 this afternoon. We've got 15 hours and I think like 37 minutes of daylight today. But it's not going to be that big, bright, beautiful summer hot day that we were looking for. few spotty showers are possible again this afternoon and into the evening. We could hear rumbles of thunder. I don't think anything's going to be severe or heavy downpours. That holds off until tomorrow. Mainly pushing in by the afternoon, we will see heavy rain, 1 to maybe 2 inches possible. Then the cold front hits on Saturday. So highs tomorrow, 67, Saturday, 78. So we'll be on the other side of that warm front lifting. And then we get hit with the cold front with the severe storm risk on Saturday. Then we'll dry out. A couple more days. Ah.
All right, Brittany, well, boy.
I know. I wish I had better news.
No, it's just the way it be. But thanks again for the information. Great to have you back, and we'll catch you tomorrow.
Thank you. Have
Bye,
a good day.
Brittany.
That is our Brittany Merlo, meteorologist, back with us, as she is with us every weekday at 8:20 here on the program. Right now, in downtown Wausau, overcast skies, 63 degrees is the temperature. Winds are out of the east at 8 miles per hour. The dew point is 57, relative humidity of 81%. The barometer at 30.37 inches and a visibility of 10 miles. Still to come during the program today, again, in the second hour of the show, we'll be joined by a candidate for office who'll be on the ballot this fall from the State Senate, District Number 12. Candidate from the Democratic Party, Andy Rich. And we'll be talking to her. Again, that's a rather large state senate district covering much of northeast Wisconsin, including part of Marathon County. So Andy Rich will be with us coming up at 9:20 this morning. But after an information update coming up next, we have news, weather, and sports. Get you up to speed on what's going on, as we do at the top and the bottom of every hour. But then right after that, it is Thursday. So you know what that means. It's time for North Star Knows. Yep, North Star Knows with North Star Restoration and North Star Builds coming up. And today, in terms of the program, we're going to be talking about the importance of air duct cleaning. So that is straight ahead. With Ian Welsh, I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 to 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And again, you can also join us by going to facebook.com and x.com. Go to the Bow Falls Radio pages of each, and you'll be able to see a video stream of the program. Add your questions and comments as well. And of course, again, you can also either call or text us at 715-382-9297. And as we do every Thursday at this time, we are joined for North Star Knows, North Star Restoration, North Star Builds. And today, flying solo, Jay Cricks. And Jay, good to have you back.
Hey, good to be back.
I tell you, we were just talking with our weather person who's learning to fly.
Yeah.
So I'm using the flying terminology here to start things off. Great to have you back with us here as we have a Thursday morning. And it is later today, the official first day of summer. In fact, later this afternoon, just before 4 o'clock, will be the first day of summer. And we've had it's been a lot of wetness, but it's going to start to heat up. And
we had a touch of that heat earlier this week.
It was
pretty warm.
And all of a sudden, people start looking at their walls. They start looking at their thermometers and start thinking, maybe it's time to turn on the air conditioner.
Well, I know I had mine on.
I have to admit, I had mine on.
On right now in here.
And the thing is, here at the work, I am a little more liberal at work than I am at home when it comes to keeping the AC on. Don't let the bosses know about that. But this time of year, and obviously to stay as comfortable as possible, you know, there's also a safety aspect. You don't want to get so warm in your residence that it's causing, you know, some heat issues. But it really is, as you get into the month of June, and especially as we get to July, coming up in the next couple of months, and August, as you said, it is something to really keep an eye on. And it's also important that when the summer begins, that there's no issues.
Exactly. So, we're going to talk about a little bit of your air duct cleaning today, and kind of the benefits of cleaning those air ducts. And not only is it beneficial for the system, but it's also beneficial for your indoor air quality. You know, the EPA's got a study out there, and it really doesn't change year after year. You know, your indoor air quality is typically a little bit more we'll call it, we'll say dirtier than your typical outdoor air quality, especially up here in our neck of the woods. We've got some pretty good air quality outside, unless those Canadian wildfires are blowing the smoke down towards us. But, you know, cleaning those air ducts is actually a really, really important thing to do. You know, especially if you're just moving into a home, you're buying somebody else's piece of property, maybe you have pets, maybe you had some remodeling or some reconstruction going on at your home, all that stuff gets sucked into your cold air returns. And as that stuff builds up inside of the system, it can put a drag or a load on your actual mechanical system itself. So that's what we wanted to talk about today is, you know, the why clean it and then how we clean it.
When you after, because of course, there's a lot of months between the time, the probably the last time that we used the air conditioner in the early fall. Right. Sometimes you get a little bit of a warm a kick in the early fall. And then throughout the course of the winter, you have it off. And then through much of the spring, of course, here in Wisconsin, you have it off. It's a long time.
There's actually only really two periods during the year. You got the, you kick the AC on in the summertime. Then there's that short window, you know, kind of in the fall where the temperatures are really nice. But then that same system's being used in the wintertime when you have to turn the heat on. So that warm air, that cool air, they both flow through the same air duct system.
Oh.
The same cold air returns, you know, are sucking it in. So you've got a couple of windows where you're not really using the system, and that's the perfect time to have your air ducts cleaned. So we're kind of right now at one of those windows where it's not too hot, it's not too cold, because the system has to be shut down when we do the air duct cleaning. So there would be no ability to cool the home or heat the home on the day or during, you know, the air duct cleaning itself. So you kind of want to pick a day where it's, like I say, not too hot, not too cold. We can shut everything down. Then we go into the system. And basically what we do is we've got a couple different methods of cleaning the air ducts. We can get into the how later. But really, you know, why you want to do it is there could be really energy savings. We talked about it. We had a show earlier in the year about, you know, cost savings and energy savings when it comes to water. This is a cost savings when it comes to your electrical bill, because if that system is running and it's full of debris, it's working harder than it should, and it's using more energy than it should.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, number one, you say it, there's a health aspect, but there's a cost aspect, and everybody wants to try to save money and also just extend the life of any piece of equipment within your home. And this is one of the ways. Again, it's like almost anything else. It's like your car. It's like, again, a lot of the different areas that we've talked about this in the past as well, that it, you just have to try to be, at the very least, on top of it, and at best, a step ahead of it.
Sure.
To be, I guess, really quick, to start off, when you're, what do you look for if the, that would show that maybe there's some sort of issue?
Well, your first sign that you want to get your air ducts cleaned is looking at your cold air return. So you've got your supply side. That's the side that blows the warm and cool air into the home. And then you've got the return side. That's the side that sucks the air back through into the system, runs it through a couple of filters, and then either cools it or heats it, and then it comes back around. It's kind of like a circulating system. So when you've got those cold air returns and you start seeing that little dust, that buildup on it, and everybody has it, you know, where you can, you go around the house and you see your little register vent right there.
Right.
And it's got like, looks like dirt or dust on it. That means it's sucking stuff in. You can see it building up right on the pleats. Imagine that now times five, times 10, you know, as it collects in the system, you see that little bit on the register vent on the outside. Imagine how much is now building up on the inside. So as it travels through the system, it collects more and more and more. And over time, if you have a pet, it's sucking that pet hair in, which is creating almost like a, call it like a dirt sweater inside of your HVAC system. And you're going to want to clean that out every once in a while. You want to change your filter regularly. That's a good test also, is going down to your furnace, going down to your system, and pulling your filter out and taking a look at what the pleats on the filter look like.
Right.
Are those building up, you know, with dirt and debris and dander, or are they still looking pretty clean? If they're looking like they could use to be changed, run down to Home Depot or Menards, get yourself a new filter, look at the numbers on the side of it, match it up, and buy yourself a new one. You should be switching those out about once every quarter. So every 3 months, you're going to want to put a new furnace filter in.
Frankly, there's no excuse because it's right there in front of your eyes, isn't it?
But you never think about it. You know, it's down in the basement or it's in the utility room. And how often do we go down in the basement and spend time in the utility room? Typically only when we need something. So you should have that regular schedule, that little bit of a reminder to go down there, check your furnace filter. And then if that furnace filter needs to be cleaned, obviously think about, okay, so if there's this much on the filter, how much is actually in the system? And a good rule of thumb is if you have an active family, kids and pets, I'd go every other year. Once every 2 to 3 years, 3 years as a max. Anytime your house has had any remodeling done. Just kind of, you know, if it's not a very active family, you don't have a pet, you know, you could probably stretch it out to 3 or 4 years. But you're going to want to clean that system fairly regularly, you know, every couple of years. Get in there, have a company come in, and there's a couple different methodologies for cleaning your air ducts. We use the source removal method, which basically it's, you go in, and if you could imagine like the old-timey chimney cleaners, where they have the long brushes on a rod and they brush out the chimney. Well, we have a similar system where you've got these flexible fiberglass rods and you hook them together and you basically hook them up on a drill and you take off your register vent cover. And this goes into the system and it works like an auger, if you can imagine, just sort of brushing the sides of the system, loosening up all the debris. Now, at the same time, down in the utility room, we're going to have a big vacuum line basically hooked up to the plenum on the furnace. Okay, the plenum is right before like the air intake side of the furnace, so we hook a big, basically a big tube up to it, and we run that outside, and that's hooked up to a very large vacuum system. So what that's doing is that's putting your HVAC system basically underneath negative air pressure. So we go and we block off all of your register vents all the way around the home, and then we flip on the air, you know, flip on our system to start drawing air out. And then we go in with those brushes and whips and start augering out and cleaning the system very methodically throughout the home. Now, there are multiple different types of homes, old homes, newer homes, and really depends on the age of the home. Like an old farmhouse might have some stuff inside of those ducting runs that we have to be careful of. You don't want to be twisting up, you know, the cable lines, because you don't know what a prior technician or somebody from the cable company or the phone company back in the day installed these up in the floor joists. And then, you know, the next thing you know, they turn an old floor joist system into a ducting run. So there's all kinds of things to look out for when cleaning. But we've certainly gone through a lot of different training and seen a ton of scenarios over time to know how to get into each and every one of these different types of systems and get them cleaned out properly.
Again, we're talking to Jay Cricks. It is North Star Knows. Again, every Thursday morning right here on Bow Falls Radio from North Star Restoration Services and North Star Builds. During one of our previous discussions, there would be times where somebody, you know, person or their family or their kids would be in their home and just not feeling all that great. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you go out for a walk, you start feeling better.
Sure.
That's one of the signs as well, isn't it?
It can be. It sure can be. You know, one of the signs that your home is ready for an air duct cleaning is you're kind of always feeling stuffy when you're in the house. You know, it's just like, go in there, you're constantly sneezing. Maybe your eyes get a little bit itchy or watery, and it might be time to really look at getting those air ducts cleaned, maybe getting your carpets cleaned, and just doing a refresh of the home. Because like we'd mentioned earlier, that indoor air quality can certainly affect how you feel. And we spend a lot of time in our home, and we want to make sure that we're feeling our best when we're at home.
Well, you said right there, you spend so much time in your home, you put so much of your money into your home.
It's a huge investment.
Your investment, yes. Yeah. It's one of the biggest investments in your life. And
one of the biggest.
And and basically, I think, again, and I've said this so many different times, is when we look at all these different topics, and again, this one, I think, stands right out. It's about having a plan. I mean, like you say, every quarter or I mean, in certain different areas, to have a plan, just not to wait until something is going wrong. And if you have a little bit of a checklist, just to be prepared. I guess those are the old Boy Scout, be prepared. And when it comes to your home, I don't think there's two bigger words that you can have in this topic. It's the same thing, isn't it?
It is. You know, another sign that it might be, you might be ready for, you know, an air duct cleaning is there might be some odor going on down there. And you never know, you know, what's gotten in the air ducts over time. You know, we've seen some crazy things, everything from G.I. Joes to Matchbox cars to pens and pencils and crayons and socks and, you know.
Those were all those sock
things,
goals,
that,
right?
That go down into those cold air returns, you know, especially if you've got little ones. But another thing that sometimes gets in there is mice.
Oh.
Or rodents.
Yes.
And sometimes they die in there. And sometimes they also leave little droppings behind. And you can imagine when, you know, your system is sucking up those odors, it's then spreading it throughout the home. So that's another thing to be wary of. You know, we live in the Northwoods around here. We have mice. You know, we all at some point leave our doors open. We all have that little area in our home where something can wiggle its way in. You know, we all do it, or we all have them, I should say. So that's another thing to be, it's like the super highway. It's like the way that the critters can get around the house, and it's you know, it's something that they use. So that's another reason to be diligent in cleaning your air ducts, you know, every couple of years, and just make sure it's the cleanest possible, because it is like the lungs of your home.
Yeah.
It's how your house breathes, and it's blowing your warm and cool air, and, you know, you want to make sure that area, and it's something that you don't really look in there very often, so it's typically out of sight, out of mind, and just one of those things that we want to be diligent on.
You just gave me bad flashbacks, because back at our old building, we'd had that exact problem where, you know, and the reason that we ultimately always knew there was a little critter up there that it may have found its end date is that odor.
You know, you'd be surprised. You know, we've done some houses that haven't had their air ducts cleaned in 10, 15, 20 years, and the mountain of debris that can get pulled out is very surprising. You're like, I never realized that there's that much stuff in there. And wait till you have them cleaned. You'll be very surprised on how much debris actually comes out.
Unfortunately, I think I would not be surprised, because I know too much about that. But we're going to come back in just over a minute back with Jay Cricks and talk about how North Star does their business. Because, again, North Star Restoration, again, so many different aspects of North Star Restoration and North Star Builds that they're so expert at. We're going to talk about how they're expert in this different topic when we're talking about cleaning techniques when it comes to the ducts. So we'll be back with Jay Cricks with another segment of North Star Knows here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. It is North Star Knows, and every Thursday morning we are joined by Jay Cricks or John Garcia or other members of the North Star Restoration and North Star Builds team to give you information you can use. And a quick reminder that, again, all the previous programs of North Star Knows are on our podcast page. All you have to do is go back to the Thursday, the first hour of our program, and you can go back and get really good information from North Star Restoration and North Star Builds on North Star Knows. And that kind of leads into, again, one of the areas that North Star knows what they're doing. That's why they call it North Star Knows.
That's it.
You know what you're doing.
We hope to.
And you know about this, I guess, in terms of the business, in terms of how you go about it.
So, air duct cleaning is one of our core services that we've been offering for quite a long time. And I guess there are several different methods to doing this work. And the number one method is source removal. You know, the key to pollution is dilution. Just get in there and remove it, basically. So when you get in there and you actually physically brush the walls clean with a rotating, you know, brush system, it does get quite a bit of the debris removed.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't get it perfect. Mm. So you got those corners. So you're using a round brush, and you've got something that's the shape of a rectangle.
Mm-hmm.
So getting in those corners can sometimes be a little tough. So we have a secondary system that we deploy down into your air ducts. And basically what it is, they're airlines. And if you could imagine like a steel ball at the end of an airline with little air nozzles that come off the end of the steel ball, and then we energize it with an air compressor.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of slaps around and bangs around in the air duct, dislodging anything that might be stuck on there, and it does a really good job of forcing air down into the corners to help blow out anything that the brushes don't get to. So some guys use one method. We actually deploy both methods. So we're not just cleaning with the brushes. We're not just cleaning with the air whips. We're actually whipping and brushing, the entire system. So doing that work, you still have to suck it all out. And that's where the large basically vacuum comes into play. That's something that's either outside mounted to a trailer where we pull it out of the trailer and then boom, we run this big line. Or we have, it's like if you could imagine like three large suitcases that stack up on top of each other. And then we bring it in, bring it down into the basement, lock all the three compartments together. And then it's a high efficiency, you know, vacuum system right there. Doesn't have much of a run. And just it really depends on the home and the system on how we're going to be vacuuming out the, I guess you would call it the dust and debris. So there's a couple different methods. We just don't have one system. We actually have several different ways to make sure that we're being as thorough as possible.
Doggone it. I mean, number one, and I mean, as you were talking, I think back, anytime we look into those corners, mm-hmm. you see that little buildup. I mean,
yeah.
And it sounds like, again, that you have to go not just the basics. You have to go to that next step and the next step. I mean,
we don't cut corners.
Exactly.
We clean them.
Exactly. but you're right, because I mean, you're talking. I think about, you know, I would see these little areas mm-hmm. where, you know, you could call somebody in and they will make it, you know, everything will look right. But as you explained it, it makes so much sense that, boy, you have to take it step one, step two, step three, or else you're going to still have the major problem, aren't you?
Exactly. So, and it's not an in and out thing. This is typically cleaning an air duct system is the better part of a day, depending on how large the home is. Some homes have multiple furnaces. Those systems take a long, we might have to send multiple, you know, technicians, mm-hmm. might take over a full day. But if you're hiring somebody and they're in and out in only an hour or two, I'd be very weary on how thorough of a job they actually did. You know, the whole house air duct cleaning for $199 might not be the best deal. They might be doing a quick in and out cleaning, but to really get in there and do a proper job, you really have to take your time. Get in there, inspect, look around, because you're also drilling holes in the ductwork. Then you have to go back through and plug those holes, put patches over them. You know, I mean, because we are having to cut in certain places, so you have to patch and repair that stuff as well. You can't just clean it from one entry point. You actually have to work your way through the system incrementally, and to do that, it takes time. Really takes some know-how on how to.
Yeah.
When you do cut in, you're not leaving their system all leaky.
The same.
You're properly sealing things back up. You're putting plugs in. You might be screwing aluminum plates back on just to cover up this area. You're putting tape on anything mm-hmm. to make sure that, you know, there's no leaks. And we also go around if the ducting is exposed in other areas. And if we see a leak somewhere else, we can slap a piece of tape on that to help, you know, seal up the system a little bit better than what it was before we found it.
And I think, again, just to underline as well, is that you don't want to have someone come in there to clean up, as you say, that aspect, mm-hmm. leave something that would ultimately lead to further damage. That defeats the whole purpose.
Yep.
Either do it right or don't do it right.
I would say that, you know, do a job big or small, do it right or not at all.
I mean, exactly. And again, as you said, I think that it is a big job. Mm-hmm. I think that people don't, I mean, I think the way you explained it kind of opened my eyes again, that you think, oh, you're just going to go in there and, you know, and clean up the little corners. There's more to it. In order to truly, and again, something that we've talked about a number of different areas, again, mm-hmm. if I'm wrong, tell me, that if you do it right, you're going to save big time in the long run. I mean, that's a common thread, again, that we've
had. They say it for a reason. You get what you pay for. So another thing to think about if you are considering having your air ducts cleaned, one, try and choose a day where the temperatures aren't super cold or super hot. Mm. But then on the day of the cleaning, if you have pets, make sure that they're put away. The cleaning could, if you've got a cat or something like that, wouldn't be the first time that a cat went and hid or something like that. Also, if we are running a vacuum line from inside of the home out to the trailer, that front door is propped open. Now, we do have door guards and stuff like that, but there still is the potential. So you're going to want to put your pets away. Sure. Another thing you want to think about is we all decorate our home and fill our homes with furniture and stuff like that. So anywhere where there's a supply line or supply vent or a cold air return, we're going to have to have a workspace for that technician. So typically, you know, 2 or 3 feet on either side of the register vent, about 3 feet off the wall, just enough space for a human body to kind of get in there and remove the register vent, give them a little bit of a workspace, you know. So as we go through the home, you kind of want to have stuff pulled off the walls and kind of picked up a little bit so the technician can get in and out mm-hmm. efficiently. You know, and then we wrap the whole cleaning up with, you know, wiping down all of your register vents, making sure that they look nice and clean. There's no sense in putting a dirty register vent back on after you clean the air duct. So we're going to wipe all that stuff down. Any screws that might be stripped out, we're going to go ahead and try and replace those so it's easier for the next guy. So, yeah, if you are considering having your air ducts done, give us a call.
Good stuff. And then when you get done and be able to turn on the AC, really feel it, right?
Nice, clean, cool air. That's what we want. Nice, clean, and cool air.
Very cool again, and perfect for this time of year to talk about it. Jay Cricks, again, thank you very much. Have yourself a great weekend.
Chad, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for having us.
Coming up, an information update, and then hour number two of the program, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.